This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
Well, when you speak of ESG initiatives these days, you usually get two areas of discussion. First, you get the political back and forth about whether or not focusing on ESG is the right thing. And the second, you also get the business case for ESG. Pleasure to be joined by Mike Maslansky, who is CEO of Maslansky & Partners and also author of the book, The Language of Trust, Selling Ideas in a World of Skeptics. Mike, welcome to Wharton Business Daily. Thanks for a few moments.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
You know, it's funny because we've talked about, you know, areas of this over the last couple of years as well. And on the political side of things, I think it's probably not a surprise that when you bring up a topic like ESG, there's a divide on it because there's a political divide on so many things in and around Capitol Hill these days.
There is. Everything seems to be politicized today. And so wherever organizations or companies make it easy to turn something into a political debate, it certainly will be.
Should something like ESG, though, be politicized?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the interesting thing about ESG is if you go back to the reason why it was created and why it was called ESG, it was not because this was meant to be a publicly facing or politically oriented conversation. It was actually kind of a technocratic tool for collecting data on the things that companies were doing on the environment, on social issues, on governance. And as is often the case, when things originate outside of the world of communications, they take on a very kind of wonky technical terminology. And so nobody really understands still to this day what ESG is. But what's happened is that that's made it a very easy target for people who want to basically say that, look, there's an underlying agenda that is happening when companies pursue ESG, which is often not the case. And so we're in the situation where what was not intended to be political or public has become that way.
Right. And it's also become, you know, quite the component of how business will be either successful or not to a degree as we move now and into the future as well.
Yes. Well, so now you've got, you know, you start to think about the So ESG evolved. It was really a reporting mechanism. Companies started to get pressure, particularly from the left, on both environmental and social issues. They also saw opportunity to go out and publicize the fact that they were taking these actions. And all of the pressure was coming from the progressive side of the spectrum. Do more on the environment, do more on DEI and social issues. And it was seen as a big brand opportunity with not a lot of downsides. Then all of a sudden the right woke up and they said, whoa, we don't like this. We don't like the political agenda that we think is underlying this. And they pushed back. And all of a sudden companies are caught in the middle. From all the executives that I speak to, the overwhelming majority of them believe that it is critical to take action on the environment, both because of whether they care about the climate, but particularly for their business, that it is important to do things as it relates to taking care of their employees and serving a diverse population. So they see the elements of ESG as really central to being a successful business. And now the question is how can they go do that in a way that doesn't get them in trouble from more conservative groups who think that anything they do on this front is actually meant to be political?
Well, and to a degree, isn't it also, I think, the belief of some leaders of companies that this is what they have to do to be a good community partner as well?
Yeah, so I think, you know, in the data that, in our data, there's other data out there as well, that most of the public believes that companies have a responsibility to do more than just drive the bottom line. They have a responsibility to their employees. They have responsibilities to the communities in which they operate. They have a responsibility to be responsible members of the community. And that means, you know, being conscious of how their business, how the things that they create, their manufacturing, what implications that has. So companies certainly do believe that is central to being a responsible company. I think they also think that it's central to being a successful company, that the companies that better understand these dynamics, that are that are better in their communities, they're more likely to get a license to operate from those communities. They're less likely to get pushback in the press or from regulators, and that that's really advantageous for them as a business.
So we are at a time right now where the public and also shareholders seemingly have as much influence that they have ever had. And that, to a degree, is bringing the leaders of companies to the forefront to be more accountable, that they are, you know, they are following through on the wants and wishes of people who are stockholders in their company, but also in the general public as well.
Yes. And I think, you know, the in 2019, the Business Roundtable revised their definition of the purpose of a corporation. It was in some circles controversial. I think among the business community kind of reflected what they had already been doing, which was to say that obviously being responsive to shareholders, to the owners of the business is important. But that if you really do things that are detrimental to your employees, for example, or to the communities in which you operate, the environment around your facilities, you're not going to be a welcome participant in those communities, and you're not going to be a magnet for talented employees, and that's going to hurt you. So CEOs have just been responding to these different pressures and trying to find the way forward that allows them to execute the strategies that they want to execute with kind of more tailwinds than headwinds.
How then, I guess it's to the benefit of the CEO when they can express to those individuals that some of these areas that they are looking at could potentially have financial impact on the company's bottom line down the road and allows them to move forward and, you know, take action on some of these cases as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I think, you know, what is true today more so than ever before is that everything that companies do communicates, and how they communicate is going to be essential to how they are perceived and how successful they are. And what happened with ESG in kind of the years preceding what I would call the anti-woke backlash is that a lot of the communication around ESG, why they were taking actions on the environment or on social issues, they were very much values focused. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do. We're doing it because we want to make a positive impact on the world. Well, the reality is that in America today, not everybody agrees on what the right thing is to do. And so that language had a lot of political implications. And what we've learned is that if you want to be successful today in explaining, justifying what it is that you're doing on the environmental front, on the social front, you cannot use these values-based messages. You have to focus on value. You have to focus on why it is a good idea for a business to take these actions. And that can be with reference, again, to employees, to communities, but it has to be grounded in what we call a responsible business lexicon in order to be seen as appropriate for a company to do.
What do you think then that all of this means for the future of the conversation around ESG?
I think companies are recognizing that that these actions are critical. So if you take climate, for instance, I think there are so many actions that companies are taking that they see are critical to either creating a competitive advantage for themselves, managing risk in ways that they manage other types of risk. So they have to take these actions. The question is, do they talk about it and how do they talk about it? And I think what you're going to see is that the communications that come out from these companies is going to be much more focused on the business rationale for taking these actions than it has been in the past. But I do expect that you're going to see more companies deciding that it's important to talk about these things, both because it appeals to many of their stakeholders, but also it's a critical risk and a critical opportunity for their business. And those are the kinds of things that you have to talk about.
Great to talk with you today. Thanks very much, Mike. All the best.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Mike Maslansky, who's the CEO of Maslansky and Partners and also author of the book, The Language of Trust. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.